Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Wrestling with Kayfabe. Your boy Papa Shro in the house with DEJ. So we got another classic review for you. We got TLC coming up. So we thought it was only fitting to do a TLC match. Not going to do a TLC pay-per-view, but we are doing a TLC match. And a terrific one at that, with the Rated R Superstar putting the WWE Championship on the line against John Cena at 2006 Unforgiven in the main event in Toronto, Canada. Edge's hometown.
Yeah, and it was... I forgot this part of the story. Is that Cena had been offered a 3-year deal with SmackDown with Teddy Long if Cena loses this match. And I gets Edge... gets rid of Cena for Edge. I don't know why they felt the need to do it this way.
Yeah, I kind of feel you. I feel like maybe try to hype the rivalry up and then also make it feel like neither one of them could lose.
Right.
Because you've got Edge in the match of his choosing, picking the, you know, TLC match that he's very much famous for. And then being in his hometown as well of Toronto, Canada.
Right. Man, I miss those old pay-per-view sets.
Man, it really is something to see when you go back and look at the old sets compared to just the huge LED boards of today. And pretty much every set looking the exact same, minus the change of the logos on the LED board to let you know.
What was the one... It had, like, the huge, I think it was, like, the steel, like, garters, like, all the way up. Was it Judgment Day?
Yeah, I think that was Judgment Day one year, because that was on SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, I think. That year.
Yeah, that was a cool set, too.
We got an excellent match, though, here. I'm excited to watch this, because... This is a point in time in wrestling that I didn't pay too much attention to. I was kind of over John Cena at this point. I was never big on Edge once he turned heel, which I don't know why, honestly.
That was the best part of his career.
I know, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know why that I just kind of... I guess I just kind of soured on the WWE product in general around this time. Probably about like right after... Right around this time and, like, right after, about probably 2002-ish until about this time period, I was all about it. But, yeah, I think about... Because I remember around the time SmackDown vs. Raw 06 was coming out, I was kind of out of the loop on what was going on in the product. I like the fact that they show Teddy Long up there in the skybox. He's chilling, watching the match. Because if Edge wins, he is also a big winner in this match and getting, you know, one of the top superstars in the company on his brand.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Edge is about to cry. Sure. He is literally, like, trying not to sob.
Yeah.
That's well, that's awesome to see, though. He's, you know, in his hometown, the world champion.
Yeah, he's the world, yeah. And and we talked about this on our last episode, one of the better minds in the business. He is one of the better minds in the business from a standpoint and just from people. And he's trying to slap himself out from crying. So many people have said... And this dude is a genius when it comes to just simple things and matches you don't think of. And that's true. I mean, you know, in their lead up to SummerSlam, you know, the brass knuckles of the back of the head of John Cena in Boston. And you wouldn't really think of that being a way to finish a match to beat John Cena with, especially during this time.
Right. That was one thing I loved about William Regal, the power of the punch, when he was doing that whole gimmick. I really liked the I guess it's just been a minute since I've watched a ladder match like this, but, you know, the fact he brought the belt down and they just, you know, put it on the...
Right, because they don't do that
anymore. Right.
It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like that whole moment because that really just gives you a big fight feel. You see the belt being ascended above the ring and
right.
Start with a nice lockup, some chain wrestling. John Cena's got the headlock. Edge trying to find his way out of it. He's going to bounce Cena off the ropes. And a nice shoulder block knocks Edge down into a headlock for Cena.
This was a faster John Cena. Obviously, he was younger.
Right.
One. But this is the fastest I've seen him move, even when he was, you know, a tad bit older. He seems less massy here. He just seems very fit.
Right, not like so much of bodybuilder-esque right. body type. And he's probably at the peak, like physical peak.
Mm-hmm.
Edge slaps him in the face. Cena backs off and runs and tackles him into some punches on the ground, turning into an all-out brawl and sends an Irish whip to Edge. And Edge is going to hit a neck breaker right here.
Yeah, the crowd... This was another really good idea to have this match in Toronto.
Absolutely.
You know, because they weren't going to cheer against Edge here. And just, both these guys got each other so well. They understood what both were trying to do. And I know Cena's caught flack for being, you know, not understanding at times. And he does win this match. But... One, you couldn't have him lose this match. It just wouldn't have helped your company in any way. And two, Edge had had a fairly long run with the championship. You know, because he won at SummerSlam. But yeah, if Edge won this match, Cena would go to SmackDown, and that it just wouldn't have made much sense. Championship-wise, or just story-wise, and Edge would have had to find somebody else for the championship. And I think Edge's first title run, actual title run, was kind of over at that point. He needed something new, you know, something different to kind of make the Rated R Superstar more fresh. And I think he got that, you know, after that. And I think... Well, I think it was a couple of years later he went to SmackDown. Or was it a year later?
Right around that time. I think it was a couple of years. I think it was 08.
Yeah, because then he got with Vicky Guerrero.
And right.
And that was interesting. But it worked. You know, because it was gross.
It was annoying.
It worked, yeah.
Yeah. But absolutely, it worked. And I think that's just a testament to Edge and how mm-hmm. great Edge is. I mean... He really is, you know, an absolutely amazing wrestler, and the psychology that he has. That's a beautiful move right there. Nice reversal. John Cena goes for a suplex on two chairs set up together. Edge reverses it, gets on the other side, and drops him with a kind of a neck breaker, almost like a Stinger death drop.
Right. And even though that hit Cena on the arm, that still fucking hurt.
Right. Absolutely.
That's, you know, but. Both these guys are so tough and good at, you know, just...
And really, like, I think this is probably the height of Edge's career, maybe. Right around in here. I mean, really where he truly found
right.
this gimmick.
Started, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And obviously he had a wonderful run, like, throughout, but, like, this is, like, the golden era of... You know, Rated R Superstar Edge. Mm-hmm. And almost to a point like Cena. Like, before he's really, really super Cena, mm-hmm. you know. But he's past that, like, almost like, I don't know how else to put it, like preteen stage, if that makes sense, of a wrestler that he's really broken in. And same with, like, you know, same thing like we were talking about, Edge has really found his character.
Right.
And both of these guys now have really found who they want to be as wrestlers in their character and have really begun to, you know, tell the stories of their character. Right. And this is a very interesting move. Cena's dropped down on the second rope. Looks like he's ready to take a 619. Edge throws a ladder at him that stands on the side of the ring. Edge hops over to the barricade, leaps off for a drop kick on the ladder that hits Cena right in the face.
And that probably hurt Edge more than Cena, because where he kicked right. the ladder, it was on the ring. So the ladder didn't move to Edge when he kicked it. So it was just him kicking something that didn't move.
Mm-hmm, and taking a bump down on the floor. Edge setting up the ladder that's in the ring. I thought he was going to set it up to climb it. He's going to take it over. He's going to take it and use it as a weapon. Charges into the corner and misses. Cena moves. Ladder's now set up in the corner, wedged in between the top and middle rope. And Cena looking to come back now. Swinging him into the corner to come back to the other side and a hip toss right on the ladder.
That never had to feel good. Because there's no real way to shield your body from that.
Right.
It's just you have to flatten your back out. But you're still taking... You know, that probably doesn't feel that great, but just to start off this match, I mean, they're both so psychologically sound right now. You know, Cena looks at the tables at the side of the ring, and he's trying to get Edge through him with the FU, but Edge refuses, and now they're going to do the wobble bit on the tables. Where's Lita?
I don't think she came out for this match. I don't think she did either. In the back.
I think she comes out later.
Okay.
I feel like.
So they get a back and forth, punches, edges on the outside of the ropes, almost goes into two tables, set up on the outside of the ring towards the entrance ramp. John Cena bounces off the ropes, looking like he's going to try to knock him off, and Edge comes with a big forearm. He recovers, Cena still on the ground, Edge going up to the top rope. And Cena drops him right on the top rope. Now Cena exiting the ring. And looks like he's going to grab a table.
The crowd was so much hotter than I think the... You know, and everyone's got their portable cameras and stuff. Reminds me of a little bit of a simpler time.
Absolutely. There's people together in an arena.
Yeah. Better times. And this was when WWE just jam-packed, you know, 19,000 people, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
They've had troubles with that recently, but even before all this stuff happened, I mean, you would probably get 17,16 instead of 19,20.
Well, it's crazy going to a live show, and I mean, obviously we haven't seen, you know, a live show in some time, like, mm-hmm. with a crowd there, but going to a WWE event and seeing hard cam side and mm-hmm. non-hard cam side. Because that Raw that I went to right before Survivor Series 2018, there was almost no one on the non-hard cam side.
Right.
You know, like, it looked packed on the hard cam side, but nobody on the other side. Nice slam by Edge through a table that John Cena goes through. Bounce him off the ropes, grabbed him for a... What do you call that? It's not a scoop slam. It's a
power slam.
Power slam. There you go.
Yeah. One of Orton's specialty.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a... They both understood that the rivalry was physical.
Mm-hmm.
So they started out physical, and it continued to be that way. You know, and it's hard to find wrestlers who... Oh, Jesus, that could have been so much worse.
That could have been awful. Edge takes
the ladder slides out from under Edge when he takes that leap over the top rope.
That ladder that was wedged between the top rope and the middle rope over in the top right corner, Edge runs off that ladder, and the ladder slips out beneath him as he... jumps to the top rope to leap out of the ring onto Cena in the corner.
And that takes a lot of athletic ability to do that. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a far jump, one. And two, just to leap off the ladder that is falling out from under your feet and landing on Cena perfectly and not overshooting or undershooting. And that was impressive.
And not second-guess yourself to fall on your face at some point. That made me think of, you know, like an old Sabu type of move. Mm-hmm. And Sabu was excellent, but he did botch a lot of those.
He did, yeah. But it was also, you know, ECW type equipment.
Absolutely. Which,
who knows
right.
how nice it was to begin with.
We got two chairs in the ring right now. I wonder what Edge is thinking. Cena's laying in the middle of the ring.
Edge was one of the, and then just a straight chair shot to Cena. Edge is one of the best at selling a chair shot. Just the slowness of it, you know, understanding that it's, you know, it's a steel chair into a human body, which doesn't feel that great. He's always been one of the better at it, and then he's going to try this concerto here, which was such a weird, you know, Cena counters it, but it was such a weird way to show the seriousness of a chair shot. To basically smash somebody's head with a chair on a chair. I don't know. I don't know if I liked it.
I think that it worked. But then again, I think either way, the whole chair gimmick, because that kind of started with the, you know, the Dudleys had the tables.
Mm-hmm.
The Hardys were high flyers, so they had the ladders. And Edge and Christian brought the chairs.
Right.
And I think that was kind of probably a quick thing, you right. know, like, and they kind of just came up with that and always stuck to it. Now Cena's opened up a ladder and stuck Edge in it, laying on one side of the ladder. It looks like Cena's going to slam Edge between the ladder as Edge lays lifeless. He smacks him hard with the ladder. And he's going to go for an STFU with the ladder.
Yeah,
there.
With the ladder. Yeah, that's...
And it just goes back to like what you've been talking about the whole right. time. Edge tapping out right here.
Right.
The psychology of this match is on another level.
Right.
This is wrestling right here.
Right.
This is wrestling with a gimmick match. This is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Right.
And I've always thought, like, especially a TLC match seems out of place in a singles match.
Mm-hmm.
And these two are making it feel like a TLC match was made to be a singles match. And,
yeah,
and that's talent.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you don't really think of TLC being a one-on-one match. Obviously, they have the TLC pay-per-view now, so it's kind of redundant. But, yeah, it was hard to get the feel, and he F-used the ladder on two hands.
The little things like that. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know. Because this was Cena's first ladder match ever.
Really?
I believe, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it just shows that he was being, you know, he doesn't really, you could tell because he's selling that he doesn't really know what to do with it. You know, he sets it up in the corner here. He's just not sure he wants to go up on it or if he wants to throw Edge into it. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Okay, I'll drop him here with the spinning power bomb. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. You know, I'll give him the five-knuckle shuffle.
And at this point, I mean, Cena's only 2-3 years into his run.
Right.
You know, because 04 was really his lifting off point.
Yeah, see, that is... That's something you don't really see anymore. Cena realized, oh, I can give him to it off the ladder. That's a better idea. I'll do that.
And that just goes to the psychology of even Cena. I mean, at this point, you know, how young he is in his run, how he understands, you know, everything.
Right.
Or maybe not everything, but just understands, like, he is showing that he's still, you know, very fairly green, you know. If,
right.
But...
And I think he literally just won the title from JBL like a year or two ago.
Right, that would have been like 05.
And that was 04, 05.
Yeah, because 20 would have been in 04.
Yeah, so it would have been 2005. So, I mean, he literally...
So, just, we're a year removed from that.
Yeah, so he just came from SmackDown over to Raw. And he got drafted as the champion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the draft.
And because then, that's when they did the whole SmackDown championship.
Mm-hmm.
And JBL won it. Right, and Batista comes out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Edge steals the chair from the ref. And just the awareness of Edge to... Oh, Jesus.
Headshot.
Yeah.
Don't see those anymore.
No.
Straight headshot with the chair.
And the ref was picking up the chairs, and Edge just takes one from the ref on the outside. You know, just the stuff like that. And you don't really see anymore.
Absolutely. After he smacks him in the head with it, Edge still selling that he's pretty out of it, and just kind of shaking his head, cocky, and, you know, very heelish. And the crowd goes crazy for it.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He's in his hometown. I mean, it's great. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see these matches like this and these moments. Like, makes me think of, you know, One Night Stand when Cena faced Rob Van Dam. Even the CM Punk match at Money in the Bank in Chicago. You know, just things like that. And what a moment for Edge. You know, you saw the emotion at the beginning of the match where he... You know, he's starting to kind of tear up in the corner as he holds the belt up in his hometown. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like, you really understand the magnitude of all of this for Edge. And now Cena's set up on a table, and Edge is setting up another table on top of Cena.
Which I never understood that, because you're going through a table yourself. So, what? I think it's just... But obviously, good God.
Jeez.
And Edge takes the bump where off the top rope and lands on the barricade.
A hellacious bump. Yeah. By God, that probably broke him in half. Edge goes to the top rope to try to secure this move on Cena with the table on top of him. Cena sneaks out, hits him with a punch to the head, and Edge goes flying off the top rope into the barricade outside of the ring. I feel like we keep on bringing up stuff you just don't quite see anymore. And,
right.
You know, things like that are... I don't want to say guys don't want to take risks anymore, but I think to a point, WWE wrestlers play it pretty safe. And I don't want to say that that's necessarily the wrestler's fault, because I think that's probably a large part to do with, you know, the company and how they're branded. And they're a publicly traded company, you right. know, like, and they don't want anything looking too insane. And Cena now breaks up the big ladder. So now we at least kind of see we're getting closer to a finish here. We've got a huge ladder in the middle of the ring that can definitely get you up to the belt. Just a couple feet underneath the belt. Cena setting up to climb up the ladder. Edge is still out of it, outside of the ring, which, understandably so, he took a hell of a bump, and now he's starting to climb the top rope. I think
this was an homage to TLC 1. Yeah, it was.
Yep.
The spear off the ladder on the other ladder. Not as high as TLC 1. Which was an absurd bump that I don't think anybody would take ever again.
Edge and Christian won both of those, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Hardy was hanging from the title ring, which is, you know, probably, I don't know, 20 feet up. And Edge spears him from, you know, a couple feet below him and just smack.
That match, TLC 1, may be one of my favorite matches forever.
Yeah.
But just the bumps that were taken, the Jeff Hardy doing the Swanton on the entrance ramp off that 20-foot ladder.
Right.
The spear.
They understood it's something they had to do.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and you had six guys who were willing to do whatever it took to be that. And I don't think anybody else in that position would have done it. Cena catches Edge after Edge leads off the ladder here.
both doing a great job of selling right now. Mm-hmm. Because as Edge climbed the ladder, he held his knee, and Cena really winces as he tries to pull him up for a FU.
Yeah.
And now he's got him and just power bombs him on the side of the ladder.
The ladder that Edge leaped off of, Cena just hurled him into it on the side.
After recording the... We just got done watching Survivor Series 2020 and recording episode 8. And after watching that compared to this, it feels like neither one of these men gives a single fuck about their body.
No.
You know, it is a different type of wrestling match that we were watching than anything you see right now.
Right. This is, like you said, the peak of both men's careers. And I think this added an edge to Cena that he didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Shawn Michaels Foley match of In Your House, where Shawn Michaels needed a match that showed his edge.
That pushed him to that edge, absolutely.
And this was Cena's moment.
And his character definitely had that edge, but the in-ring, you know, and that's a big key.
Right.
We keep getting flashes of the title and stuff, and I'm almost interested to see... There's a Hell in a Cell up there.
So yeah, at some point,
somebody had a Hell in a Cell.
And here, I think Lita's coming now.
Cena's at the top, trying to grab the belt.
Yep. There she is, yeah. It's just like Cena didn't win there. Lita picks up the ladder from the bottom on the other side and puts Cena through a table.
That was a bump. I mean, that was... He comes from the middle of the ring all the way out to the hard cam side, going through a table right next to the barricade. Lita now yelling at Edge, trying to get him up.
She was such an underrated part of the character.
Absolutely.
I felt like. You know, I mean, the realism of that whole relationship, just adding to, you know, the character. It just, she made it work, you know, and Lita wasn't known for that because she was with the Hardys for so long. She didn't have that side to her.
Right, and when she was with the Hardys, she was just kind of like there, if that makes sense. She was a part of it, but she was kind of just there. Like, she was a big part in, you know, the whole Rated R Superstar gimmick. Right.
And this is so good by Edge, because he's not... he's struggling with the ladder, trying to get it under the belt. You know, just the ability to understand that both these men have gone through so much in this match is great. And Cena somehow gets up after taking that bump slowly. Edge is off the mark for that belt now.
He's right on the mark for what I'm sure is about to happen.
Yeah. And Alita sneaks up behind Cena, hits him with a chair, knocks Edge off, and oh, there goes the tables that were set up earlier.
One of them.
One of them.
He almost missed the mark, actually.
He did, and that would have
been bad.
It'd been way worse, yeah.
So Lita inadvertently knocking Cena into the ladder that knocks Edge off into the tables. And now Cena kind of realizing what has transpired, and Edge is gone, and looks at Lita, and now he's got Lita up for an FU and hits it. You don't see that very often now. The top table that was set up on the double tables falls off from the impact of that FU to Lita.
She was one of the few divas that took bumps.
Yeah, she was not afraid to take a big bump either.
No.
Now Cena's going to reset these double tables up here on the right side of the ring, and he's going after Edge. And now he's looking back at the title, and now he's having a real moment of not sure what to do, if he should go for the belt or if he should try to finish Edge off.
And this is a good psychology by Cena, because he wants Edge to be beat up and suffer for all the things he did to Cena, but he also understands that this is the time to get the belt. So he decides to go for the belt.
And again, just kind of showing that, you know, young mind. You know, he's not quite the, you know, veteran that he is of today, you know?
Right.
I mean, if you saw the same moment happen, Cena's definitely not going to take a second to go for that belt.
Right. And I don't know why the refs are telling Edge to get off the ladder. It's kind of interesting. I think maybe they're trying to sell that he's too hurt. Could be both being grabbed for the belt at the same time. And this is where Cena uses him off the ladder here. This is going to be the finish. But over into the two tables.
Whew.
Perfectly executed.
Yeah, Cena, that was perfect. And now the belt is swinging. I think Edge probably hit it as he tumbled from the FU. Cena grabs the belt out of the sky as it...
Which, by the way, that was a really badass grab, because if he misses, it's just going to swing again.
Right.
So, and then Cena wins the match. Some people go crazy.
Yeah, the crowd's pretty electric for this. Either way, it was one hell of a match. Yeah, all the carnage. Match. Cena does not seem... I think Cena is slightly disgusted with himself for the things
right.
that he had to do to Edge. And again, just goes back to the storytelling and how good these two guys did at telling the story of this hellacious rivalry.
Right.
And Cena looks ashamed of himself. He hangs his head as he holds the belt up.
Yeah, and that's so interesting from a standpoint of... Because you don't see that anymore. You know, you don't see a guy who just won the championships who's upset at himself for winning championship. And I think it's also part relief. You know, hugging his dad at the
mm-hmm.
end. I think it's just, you know, the culmination of all the whole story being told of Edge slapping his Cena's dad for SummerSlam at their home. You know, it's just a well-told story. And it's basically, you know, the hero finally gets his revenge on the villain. And just walks out. You know, it's the perfect way.
Did you catch the middle finger thrown at him as he walked around the corner?
Getting drinks thrown at him. Cena is one of the best ever at ignoring everything.
Absolutely, and to go with it, because you know, like even in recent memory, it goes to show that, like, you know, there are definitely.
Well, I mean, at One Night Stand. I mean, good God.
But there are definitely stars that bugs them. I mean, look at, kind of look at Hogan.
Right.
That upset him. Look at Ronda, you know, recently. That really, you know, run her on the business at the moment. You know, some guys just can't handle that, especially, you know, like when they're trying to be babyface. And, you know, the crowd turns on them. Some guys, you know, that's hard to handle. Right. And Cena is...
He just got it.
He
understood that he was a face for the people that wanted him to be a face.
And really, it doesn't matter. Like, to me in wrestling, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you invoke emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the key, I think.
Right, and that's what they kind of did, you know, when they would announce, or when they would call his matches, you know, they'd say the most reactive superstar of all time, which was kind of annoying, but it was true, you know, I mean, he would get a reaction no matter what, and just to not sell it is, again, I think John Cena is so underrated in most of what he did. But especially his overall ability to sell a story. There weren't many people much better than him at telling a story he was in.
Absolutely.
I didn't see him very often be bored in a story. Orton gets bored in a story. Lesnar gets very bored in a story.
Well, and there's plenty of guys that are... You know, when you're that talented, you know, if you don't have something that you really want to tell, or, you know, it is very easy to get bored in a story.
Yeah. I wonder who that Hell in a Cell match was. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, me too. So the show ends. It looks like it was the McMahons and Big Show versus DX.
Oh, that's right.
Interesting.
It's kind of weird to put that in the middle of the show.
Right. Yeah, those were smack dab in the middle of the show. Either way, the show ends with Cena at the top of the ramp holding up the custom Rated R Superstar Championship belt and gives a salute as the show goes off. All in all, I'm giving this match 4.5 out of 5. I almost want to give it a 5, but I don't want to be too liberal with my stars.
I can give it a 5. I mean, you know, there wasn't much that went wrong in the match. I think everything they tried to do, they did.
The one spot that was probably easy to botch, Edge saved. The run on the ladder,
yeah.
Jumping out of the ring.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to give this a 5. And not because, you know, it's John Cena and Edge. If anybody executed the match like this, it would be a 5.
Absolutely. Yeah. The carnage in the ring, outside of the ring, you know, kind of maneuvering all over the place, the bumps that were taken, the fact that none of it got botched.
Right.
And the psychology of it all.
And Lita played in well.
Absolutely. You know, the tie-in with the whole rivalry.
Right. And she came in at the right moment. She wasn't there too long. She tried to affect the match, but it ended up she couldn't. You know, that's... Typically in today's wrestling, you see the heelish managers, you know, affect the whole match. And it shouldn't happen. You know, they should either affect the match in a certain moment or fail to, you know...
I think it should be at least more sparingly.
Right.
You know, because every once in a while, I'm all right with the, you know, a heel manager or something really kind of, you know... kind of messing around the whole match. But Paul Heyman does it the best,
yes.
I think. Paul Heyman stays out of the way. He lets you know he's there. You know, you hear him yelling. You see his reactions. I mean, he does it perfect. He gets involved at the right moment.
Right.
You know, he knows when to be seen, when to not be seen, you know, when to do and when to don't. And I think there's a lot of people that don't know the... You know, can't quite figure out when to be seen and when not to be.
Well, I haven't seen him get involved in a match lately, but, and you're right, for him to be so perfect in knowing when to and when not to, I mean, that was a perfect example of knowing when and when not to.
Mm-hmm.
Lita hit it right on the head, or I'm sure all three of them hit it right on the head. But, you know, in summary, just to realize the realness of this match, and put it all into one explosive moment throughout the match. It just really let all their feelings out in it. And it was great. You know, that's why I think it gets a 5 from me, just because it told the whole story of the rivalry.
And the length of the match. I mean,
match.
To be on and to go as hard as they did, you know, for probably a 30-minute match. I mean, right around there, maybe even
long.
More.
It felt like a shorter match.
Right, and I think that's because of all the spots that were in it. But, you know, it was boom, 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 boom. You know, and I think that's why it really keeps you entertained. You know, it keeps your focus on what's really happening. But yeah, all in all, a great match to wrap up an interesting pay-per-view. We didn't watch through it all. It looks interesting looking through the WWE Network, you know, spots where you can click on.
Looks like Orton and Carlito is the co-main event.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
That's interesting.
Right. To say the least, a very interesting night. Unforgiven 2006. Man, we enjoy all the support. We really appreciate it. All the views. Make sure you like and subscribe to the Wrestling with Kayfabe channel. You know, you can find us anywhere you get a podcast, as well as YouTube,
Instagram,
Twitter. We just recently launched our Twitter, so check us out everywhere you want to, and we're gonna keep delivering content. And I mean, I don't know what else to say. I guess we'll be back with some more classic wrestling reviews. Let us know what you want to see. Obviously TLC is the next pay-per-view we're probably looking at. Some other TLC matches to throw on the channel to watch and review. But if there's something that you want specifically, let us know. Like we said, Instagram or Twitter, great place to reach us. Comment on this video, any video. That'll do it for today. Wrestling with Kayfabe.